Chapter 19. How to Win the War on Cancer. New tests, new drugs, and new technologies are transforming how we treat cancer, and most significantly, how we can prevent it in the first place. Cancer didn't bring me to my knees. It brought me to my feet. Michael Douglas, actor and cancer survivor. Everyone knows someone who has been diagnosed with the big C. Cancer. This scourge, which is the second leading cause of death in the United States, has probably touched a member of your family, maybe a friend, maybe a colleague, maybe you. But even though cancer affects millions of people each year, this is one club that nobody wants to join. Along with heart disease and dementia, cancer rounds out the list of killers that cut our life short and steal our golden years with our families. Each year in the United States alone, 1.8 million people are newly diagnosed with cancer. More than a third of that number die from cancer annually. That's 1,600 people a day. 1,600 husbands and wives, mothers and fathers and children, brothers and sisters, billionaires and paupers, scientists and artists. Globally, there are about 9.5 million cancer-related deaths each year. What's truly shocking is how likely we are to get cancer. Almost 40% of Americans are expected to develop cancer during the course of their lifetimes. The cost to families of losing a loved one can't be measured. The cost of care is almost as startling. In 2018, nearly $151 billion went toward cancer care in the U.S. That's such an immense figure that it's hard to fathom what it means in personal terms. Let me give it a try. The average cost of a cancer patient's treatment is estimated at $250,000, and the bill often balloons to millions of dollars. In countries like the U.S., the burden of these costs will only increase as the population grows older. Remember, for the most part, cancer is a disease of aging. As I mentioned earlier, I used to be terrified that cancer was coming for me, and that I'd die slowly and painfully at a young age. My fear was irrational, but not entirely unfounded. I'd watched my mother's dear friend succumb to cancer. I watched the CEO of one of my companies lose his wife to cancer. It was excruciating. I then watched a business partner and close friend and a coworker pass. Fortunately, with new technology, last year one of my friends who was told she was terminal tried a new form of treatment that included stem cells. 1 year later, she's cancer-free. It is now widely understood that the immune system normally provides protection against cancers. Did you know that we are always developing cancers in our bodies? It's just that our immune system finds them at the very beginning and defeats them. It's when our immune system fails us that cancer takes hold. So it makes sense that a high-performing immune system is one of the most important ways to defend against cancer and virtually all diseases. What stood out to me then and now is how the traditional treatment, the chemotherapy and radiation required to improve their chances of survival, ended up ravaging them, body and soul. And after they went through hell, that brutal treatment wasn't even successful. I'm an empath. My ability to relate deeply to others enables me to help them. But that same depth of empathy made me feel like I was going through this grueling disease right alongside my friends. Their pain left an indelible impression and a passionate desire to see progress in the war on cancer so that millions of others could be spared this suffering. We all have a stake in this war. So I'm thrilled to report that the future of cancer detection and treatment has never looked more promising. As you'll learn in this chapter, the technological tide is finally turning in ways that once seemed inconceivable. That's a stunning achievement and a massive relief because the truth is, we're long overdue for a revolution in how we approach this disease. We need to break its frightening grip on our bodies and our minds. In recent years, we've seen slow but steady progress in the fight against cancer. Between 2001 and 2017, the rate of men's cancer deaths fell by 1.8%, and the rate for women dropped by 1.4%. That's partly because smoking, which dramatically raises the risk of cancer, has lost some of its allure. As treatments become more sophisticated and early detection increases, this declining trend in the death rate is likely to continue. In 2019, the U.S. had nearly 17 million cancer survivors. By 2030, that number is expected to exceed 22 million. That's a great start, but it's nothing compared to what we're about to see. Why am I, along with my co-authors Peter and Bob and many leading cancer experts, so optimistic? Because science is now advancing at exponential rates to deliver an unprecedented bounty of breakthrough technologies. In this chapter, we're going to introduce you to a range of tools aimed at prevention and early detection, which consistently provides a less invasive and more effective approach to healing. And finally, a series of cutting-edge therapies, cures, and treatments that can supercharge our own immune systems to battle and stop cancer, including, to name a couple, a daily pill that disables cancer's deadly mechanisms, and an infusion that vanquished President Jimmy Carter's aggressive melanoma, saving his life. This wide array of groundbreaking innovations that can help you avoid the debilitating journey of cancer and radiation treatments includes: 1. In the diagnostics chapter, we shared with you a simple blood test that can detect up to 50 kinds of cancer at their earliest and most treatable stage. Here we'll go deeper in our understanding on this and how a full-body MRI may soon be moving from the hospital to the comfort of your home. Remember, early detection is key to survival. 2. A natural ingredient that thousands of studies have shown can significantly reduce your risk of cancer and has even been shown to reduce breast cancer cells by 80%. 3. An innovative procedure for prostate cancer, the most common cancer among men, that ingeniously sidesteps the common side effects of incontinence and loss of sexual function, and can be performed safely in a doctor's office without radiation or hospitalization. 4. Four personalized therapies that can augment and supercharge your own immune system to attack cancer. You've already learned about CAR T-cells, but as you'll soon see, related cellular therapies involving immune cells and their byproducts such as natural killer, NK, cells, along with personalized cancer vaccines and tumor-infiltrating lymphocytes, are at long last making it possible to defeat even those cancers that have been considered incurable. There are even immune boosters called checkpoint inhibitors that have turned around within weeks the prognosis of people with stage 3 cancer. 5. Remember exosomes, those minute bags of molecules or signaling factors that all cells in your body release? It turns out they can be reprogrammed to attack cancer. This bonanza of new technology should give us all tremendous hope. Every day we're getting better at detecting cancer early, long before it becomes life-threatening, and treating it with leading-edge techniques that will eventually make radiation and chemotherapy seem as primitive as leeching. This subject is so important, and this chapter is a little longer than most of the others in this book. But if you want to make sure that you're armed with the latest breakthroughs for you or someone that you love, this chapter is a must-listen. The first part of this chapter will focus on ways to prevent cancer. The second part will share the newest breakthroughs that are occurring if you or someone you know has already developed cancer, to give you what's available today, as well as what's coming, so that you have choices in how to attack and ideally win the war on this disease. These new developments are so creative, so imaginative, so transformative, that talk of vanquishing cancer is no longer a pipe dream. It's real and could change the course of your life. So let's dive in. The best treatment of all, prevention. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Benjamin Franklin. What could be better than curing cancer? Preventing it. To state the obvious, the single best way to tackle cancer is never to develop it in the first place. In short, there's no treatment as good as prevention, and that's where our most fervent hope lies. I'm so bullish about the power of prevention, and one of the reasons that I joined forces with Dr. Bob Hariri, Dr. Peter Diamandis, and Dr. Bill Kapp informing the company Fountain Life, which we introduced in Chapter 2, was to encourage more people to take advantage of the precision diagnostic testing that we, our families, and many of our closest friends undergo regularly as a way to detect diseases in their earliest and most treatable stages. Remember, our company's goal is to be a trusted source for people's health and well-being, curating the best solutions to optimize their vitality, improve their health span, and extend their lifespan. If you want to stay healthy and head off trouble, there's no better diagnostic tool than the newest forms of whole-body MRI. As Dr. Bill Kapp says, the whole-body MRI is the most useful test right now to find any aberration. Of course, you can also find abnormalities in your genome sequencing and your blood chemistry. But the majority of all the immediate and emergent life-threatening diseases are found in your MRI scans. What does a whole-body MRI scan entail? You lie still inside a noisy machine that costs millions of dollars, and it takes about 15,000 images of your body, using radio waves and powerful magnets. But the diagnostic data you derive from this test can be absolutely priceless. Among other things, the MRI can detect solid tumors of the neck, chest, abdomen, pelvis, and brain, along with other life-endangering problems like cardiac disease, aneurysms, and neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. Why bother with seeking out all this information? Isn't it better to live in blissful ignorance, hoping blindly for the best? I understand why some people feel that way, but if you listened to Chapter 3 on diagnostic power, you know that early detection vastly improves your odds of successfully treating countless illnesses, including a wide range of potentially lethal cancers. I'm guessing you know of people who were diagnosed with stage 3 or stage 4 cancer, meaning that it was relatively advanced and extremely challenging to treat. How much better would it have been to detect that cancer in stage 0, when it was still small and in one place and hadn't yet spread to nearby tissues, lymph nodes, or other parts of the body? During Peter's August 2020 Abundance Platinum trip to San Francisco and San Diego, he arranged for all participants to undergo a battery of the most sophisticated diagnostic tests. This assessment included whole genome sequencing, a breathtakingly complex test that can reveal cancer-causing genetic mutations, a CT scan to determine the condition of their arteries and gauge their risk of a heart attack, advanced blood work, and a whole-body MRI scan. As you can imagine, some of these folks felt pretty nervous at the prospect of what this barrage of tests might reveal. Speaking at dinner the night before the testing began, Peter reassured them that these granular insights about their health would enable them to live with a whole new level of confidence and clarity. He remarked, "Most of us are optimists about our health. We all walk around saying, 'Oh, things are great, I feel fine,' until you don't. And that's the challenge. We know more about what's going on inside our car or refrigerator than we do with our body. The problem is it's often too late by the time we find something. The smarter alternative is to use high-resolution imaging to scan ourselves every year, find any problem at the very beginning, and take care of it immediately." As Peter explained, there's one overarching question that we're looking to answer with all of this next-generation diagnostic testing. Is there anything going on inside your body that you need to know about now? And if you find something, the answer is not, "Oh my God," it's, "Okay, I'm going to crush it." So when people say to me, "I don't want to know," I say, "Bullshit. Of course you want to know. You want to know as soon as possible when you can do something about it." Put simply, it's all about empowerment. One of the guest speakers at Peter's dinner that evening was our very own Dr. Bill Kapp, the CEO of Fountain Life. As mentioned earlier, Dr. Kapp became disillusioned with his profession's entrenched emphasis on sick care, which involves waiting until you start to fall apart before trying to put the patient back together, and doing this at a cost that's liable to wipe you out. His driving passion is to promote healthcare that prevents the problem in the first place. "We can do an amazing job of keeping you alive and can even help patients recover from stage 3 or stage 4 cancer," explains Dr. Kapp. But wouldn't it be wonderful if you knew you were going to get cancer before it happened? That's precisely why Bill Kapp, Peter, Bob, and I are so excited about making this type of precision diagnostic testing more widely available. What we're talking about here is a radical change of mindset, shifting the focus from sick care to well care, from reactive medicine to proactive medicine, from fighting disease to preventing disease. After all, do you have any doubt that prevention is the best option of all? Our friend and partner, Dr. David Caro, president of Human Longevity, Inc. and an MD, PhD, who is a leading expert in advanced body imaging and genomic analytics, has seen countless lives saved because these diagnostic tests detected cancer at an early stage, long before it escalated and became catastrophic. Dr. Caro points out that there are also massive cost savings associated with early diagnosis. For example, using immunotherapy to treat stage 3 or stage 4 renal cancer can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. But if you detect that same cancer at stage 1, you can often treat it almost effortlessly by heating or freezing the tumor to destroy the cancer cells, a safe and inexpensive solution that's typically an outpatient procedure. If you ask me, the choice isn't difficult. I'd much prefer to undergo regular diagnostic testing and catch a problem like this in its infancy than wait until it grows into Godzilla. Also, once you know what's going on inside your body, you have the option of making smart adjustments to optimize your health and vitality. For example, the diagnostic tests we use at Fountain Life give you a clear picture of how much inflammation there is in your body. Why does that matter? Because scientists regard inflammation as a key culprit in aging and specifically in cancer. Having determined your inflammatory age, we can optimize you by giving you tools such as peptides, which you'll remember from Chapter 10, Your Ultimate Vitality Pharmacy, are smaller versions of proteins that fight inflammation and aging. And that's just one way to reduce your risk of cancer. Dr. Kapp, who also has a master's in immunology and genetics, explains it like this. As you age, you lose the ability to stimulate the immune system as robustly as when you were a child. We use peptides to boost immunity by boosting T cells. T cells and their progeny, natural killer cells, which are also known as NK cells, circulate looking for tumor cells. We'll return to this subject later because T cells and NK cells are such important allies in the fight against cancer. But for now, the simple point is that it's good to have more T cells and NK cells in your body because these immune cells help to defend you against cancer. They guard against marauding invaders. Another critical aspect of all this diagnostic testing involves accurately measuring your body composition. For one thing, you're able to discover precisely how much visceral fat is secretly stored within your abdominal cavity. As you may know, excessive visceral fat raises the risk of a wide array of nasty illnesses that you'll be delighted to avoid, including colorectal cancer, breast cancer, heart disease, and type 2 diabetes. Our tests also measure your ratio of fat to muscle to assess your risk of metabolic syndrome. The point is, once you know exactly where you stand, you can do something about it. That includes making informed lifestyle choices about nutrition, sleep, and exercise, all of which play a pivotal role in reducing the risk of various types of cancer, as discussed in chapters 12, 13, and 14. As you might remember, the most effective things you can do to avoid illness and enhance your vitality is to sleep 8 hours per night, minimize your sugar intake, and exercise regularly with a special emphasis on building muscle strength. This isn't about looking buff and beautiful on the beach, though there's nothing wrong with that. The fact is, muscle is the largest endocrine organ in the body, and people with enough muscle mass have a significantly lower incidence of cancer and other illnesses. The higher the muscle mass, the higher the immune function, the longer you live, says Dr. Kapp. There's almost a direct correlation with longevity. Strength training can also arrest cognitive decline, so getting your muscle mass up is critical. Yet the truth is, most people have no idea how critically important it is to do muscle training. both for their health span and lifespan. I hope you're starting to see a new pattern, a more informed and proactive way of thinking that makes us far from powerless in the war on cancer. Advanced diagnostic testing enables us to get way ahead of the curve, identifying problems before it's too late. And the precision data we collect about our bodies empowers us to adjust our behavior in ways that sharply lower the risk of illness. It's a whole different attitude, isn't it? We're not waiting passively for disaster to strike. We're proactively maximizing the probability of a long, healthy, vibrant life. Inventing the Holy Grail, finding cancer early. Heroism doesn't always happen in a burst of glory. Sometimes small triumphs and large hearts change the course of history. Mary Roach, author of Grunt, The Curious Science of Humans at War. One of the biggest challenges with detecting cancer is that so few preventative tests exist. The best known are mammography to find breast cancer, colonoscopy to identify colon cancer, and Pap tests for cervical cancer. Yet the majority of cancers are found only at an advanced stage, once symptoms emerge. And as you already know, it can be too late by then. That's why we mentioned to you in Chapter 3, the Diagnostics chapter, the power of a new blood test for cancers called GRAIL. And one of the most promising diagnostic breakthroughs in decades, GRAIL has developed a liquid biopsy, a simple blood test that is able to detect most major types of cancer at an early stage when they're significantly easier to treat. Jeff Huber, GRAIL's founding CEO and vice chairman, sees this innovation as a way of shifting the playing field by finding cancer when the odds are in your favor. If cancer is detected at stage 1 or stage 2, says Huber, there's about an 80% chance that you'll be cured and can continue on with your life. If it's detected at stage 3 or 4, there's an 80% chance that you're not going to like the outcome. In fact, the 5-year survival rate when cancer is detected early is almost 90%. That rate sinks to just 21% when it's detected late. Sadly, about 80% of cancers are diagnosed late, at stage 3 and stage 4. Before launching GRAIL in 2016, Huber was a heavy hitter at Google. During his 13 years there, he built some of the company's biggest systems, including Google Maps, where he ran a team of more than 5,000 people. As a co-founder of Google X, the company's moonshot factory, he'd just begun to explore ways of applying genome technology to drive future breakthroughs in life sciences. Then, he received a fateful call from Illumina, a leader in genomic sequencing, inviting him to join its board. At one of his first board meetings, Huber reviewed the progress of a new R&D project inspired by an accidental discovery in pregnant women. Illumina had acquired a company that was doing non-invasive prenatal testing. The test involved taking a blood sample from an expectant mother and analyzing it for traces of fetal DNA that could indicate anomalies such as Down syndrome. While conducting thousands of tests, the researchers discovered some baffling results that didn't correlate with any fetal conditions. Strangely, they correlated with something else entirely, cancer. When the researchers followed up, it turned out that these expectant mothers had undiagnosed cases of stage 3 and stage 4 cancers, and the blood test had somehow detected the disease. That lit the light bulb, says Huber. Here's a test that was developed for an entirely different purpose, but clearly there's a signal there in the blood that we could use for detecting cancer. This unintentional finding spawned a new initiative. What if the blood test could be fine-tuned, making it sensitive enough to pick up a whole range of cancers at that early stage when interventions would make a difference to outcomes? Over the next few months, the research went well. Actually, everything in Huber's life seemed to be going well. But then, disaster struck. It started when his wife, Laura, who was 45 years old, super healthy, super fit, began to feel more tired than usual and had some hip pain, joint pains, things that were unusual but vague. Seeing nothing to worry about, her doctor said, "Welcome to premenopause. You'll get better." But the symptoms didn't go away, and Laura soon developed gastrointestinal issues too. Eventually, she had a colonoscopy and an endoscopy, which revealed a 2-centimeter tumor in her colon. At first, says Huber, it seemed like cause for celebration. They'd found the cancer early enough to treat it effectively. But a CT scan and an MRI scan later showed that what appeared to be a small colon tumor had actually very aggressively metastasized through her lymph system, to her liver, and ultimately to her lung. Laura underwent an aggressive campaign of chemotherapy, but in November 2015, after 18 months of treatment, she died. "We had access to the best experts in the world, the best testing possible," says Huber. "But it was evident that for all the work that has been done, we're so far from understanding cancer and how to actually treat it." 1 week before Laura's death, Illumina decided to spin out a new company that would focus on developing its blood-based test for cancer. A month or so later, a grieving Huber was offered the job of leading this startup, which would be called Grail. The timing was terrible, and Illumina's board kindly suggested installing an interim CEO until Huber felt ready. But the more he thought about it, the more he knew that he had to be ready. Laura would have wanted him to be ready. "In truth, there was no choice," says Huber, calling Grail a moral and ethical imperative because of the impact it could have on so many lives. If its blood test had been available 3 or 4 or 5 years earlier, it could have fundamentally changed the outcome for Laura and many, many others. Fueled by an irresistible sense of urgency, Huber took the reins at Grail in 2016, hired 40 people in a single day, rapidly raised $1 billion for clinical studies, and enrolled 15,000 people in the company's first study. As he says, "We were shot out of a cannon." That first study involved 10,000 people who had recently been diagnosed with cancer, along with a control group of 5,000 healthy people. The goal? To construct an enormous database of everything we know about cancer that can be measured in the blood. Building on that research, Grail developed a blood-based screening test called Galeri, which could detect more than 50 types of cancer. How does it work? The test searches for tiny fragments of DNA and RNA that have been released into the bloodstream by a tumor and that reflect the tumor's genomic features. Grail's technology is so sensitive that it can detect even a faint signal that an early tumor exists. To put this breakthrough in context, you need to understand just how limited our capacity to screen for cancer has been until now. Huber points out that 80% of cancers don't have any screening mechanism, and many of those cancers are the ones that have developed a reputation as being deadly, for example, pancreatic cancer and ovarian cancer. But the reason they're so deadly is because they're so frequently detected late. In the rare cases where they're detected early, the prognosis is actually pretty good. If you've been tested for a disease like breast, colorectal, lung, or cervical cancer, you know firsthand that the screening mechanisms we rely on now are valuable but far from perfect. For example, plenty of women shy away from discomfort of having their breasts mashed between metal plates. Likewise, a colonoscopy is nobody's idea of fun. Tests for diseases like prostate cancer have also run into serious problems, with high rates of false negatives and false positives, adding another layer of uncertainty and stress. Enter Grail. Its ultimate mission is to offer one test that can simultaneously scan for every type of cancer. Huber, who has a talent for thinking big, says, "Instead of going in for a colonoscopy or a pap smear or a mammogram for breast cancer, what would it be like if we could, with a single test, effectively detect all cancer types?" Grail launched its Galeri blood test commercially in the U.S. in 2021. For now, it isn't designed to replace the existing tests for cancer, but to complement them. It promises to improve detection of the 20% of cancers for which we already have a screening mechanism, while also providing a new way to screen for the other 80%. Like many medical innovations, it's likely to take a while for Grail's test to become widely available. Scoleri costs $949, which might sound pricey for a regular annual test, but just think about the colossal treatment costs and needless human suffering that could be avoided if a test like this becomes routine. And in fact, Huber's vision is that you'll actually be able to access this test whenever you visit your doctor for an annual physical exam, in much the same way that you'd expect to have your cholesterol and glucose levels checked. And like all technology, the cost should drop significantly. In fact, starting in 2021, the UK's National Health Service will offer the test to 140,000 people over the age of 50 with no signs of cancer, and 25,000 people age 40 and above who are suspected of having cancer. If all goes well, the test could be adopted in the UK for routine use. After his wife, Laura, passed away, Huber calculated how much her 18 months of agonizing late-stage cancer treatment had cost. It was $2.7 million that was ultimately spent in futility. You didn't hear that wrong. The cost of one person's treatment was $2.7 million. Not only did it not work, treatment was an agonizing process at that stage. By contrast, an early diagnosis could have led to a simple $10,000 surgical intervention that might well have produced a positive outcome. The fact is, we need to start thinking about preventive care in a more pragmatic way. It's a bit like visiting a dentist for a regular cleaning and checkup to stave off a dreaded and expensive root canal. But when it comes to cancer, we're talking about life and death. Meanwhile, the future looks bright for Grail. In 2020, the company that incubated Grail as a startup, Illumina, announced its plan to fully acquire Grail in a deal valued at $8 billion. That hefty price tag should give you a sense of just how much excitement this technology is generating. But you won't be surprised to hear that Grail isn't the only genetic diagnostics company pursuing this wide-open market of liquid biopsies. In the fall of 2020, a company called Freenome announced $270 million in Series C financing to advance a clinical trial for its own blood test to screen for colorectal cancer, as well as additional blood tests for a variety of other cancers. Freenome's co-founder, Charles Roberts, points out that early diagnosis is especially critical in the battle against colorectal cancer. If you detect the cancer when it's still localized, the 5-year survival rate is 92%, says Roberts, versus 14% when there is any spread at all. If you detect it at stage 1 or earlier, it's actually almost 100% survival. Given that colorectal cancer is the second most deadly cancer worldwide, lung cancer is the first, that's a lot of lives saved. If everything goes according to plan, Freenome will launch its test in 2022. It's administered every 3 years and is expected to cost $500. That sounds like a bargain to me. If you've ever had a colonoscopy, you'll never forget the experience of choking down a gallon of sickly sweet viscous laxative and spending hours on the porcelain throne. I'd never discourage anyone from doing a colonoscopy because it can truly save your life, but is it any wonder that 45 million Americans aren't up to date on their colonoscopy screening? If Freenome can provide an easy, affordable, laxative-free test for colorectal cancer, sign me up. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. While screening is critically important, wouldn't it be amazing to nourish yourself with a core ingredient that thousands of studies have shown can reduce your risk of cancer and has even been shown to reduce breast cancer cells by up to 80%? The lowly broccoli sprout is a superfood that contains sky-high levels of glucoraphanin, a precursor to the cancer-busting phytochemical sulforaphane, one of the most powerful food-derived molecules. In fact, broccoli sprouts are up to 50 times more potent than broccoli alone. Thousands of studies on sulforaphane show that 80% of the phytochemical you take in makes its way into your body's cells. And research has also identified sulforaphane as cancer protective because it revs up antioxidants and detoxification enzymes that guard against the disease. the sulforaphane in broccoli sprouts can slam the brakes on tumor growth and play an important role in the regulation of hundreds of genes. So maybe it's time to take up a new hobby, sprouting broccoli seeds or other cruciferous seeds, including radish, cabbage, and arugula. Of course, you can also buy these sprouts at many grocery stores or natural food stores. Even if you don't eat sprouts, make sure to keep veggies like cauliflower and Brussels sprouts on the menu. Along with broccoli, they're chock full of sulforaphane. Keep in mind that the cancer-fighting chemicals in sprouts are at their most robust levels at day 3, so that's when you want to harvest them. There are many capsule options, though I personally prefer to get fresh sprouts, sprinkled on my salads or blended into my green drinks. They cost pennies, and yet their prevention capacity is extraordinary. Ready, aim, fire. Sending the immune system into battle. The harder the conflict, the greater the triumph. George Washington. Armed with these incredible technologies like liquid biopsies, whole genome sequencing, and whole body MRIs, and even doing something simple like eating broccoli sprouts, we stand a better chance than ever of putting the brakes on cancer by preventing the problem in the first place. But you know as well as I do that this isn't always feasible. In millions of cases each year, we miss the opportunity to intervene early. And that makes us overly dependent on treatments that leave a lot to be desired. Did you know that only a few chemotherapy drugs produce an enduring remission, let alone a cure? In the majority of cases, any given drug conveys mere months of increased survival or time before the tumor grows or spreads. Of 36 cancer drugs approved by the FDA between 2008 and 2012, only 5 were shown to improve survival compared with existing treatments, or, shockingly, compared to no treatment at all. And if we're being honest, improvement is a generous word for what we're describing here. Of 71 chemotherapy drugs for solid tumors, the median survival edge is an abysmal 2.1 months. What about radiation therapy, which uses high doses of radiation to kill cancer cells and shrink tumors? The trouble is, it also kills normal tissue, which is why side effects like nausea, vomiting, hair loss, fatigue, and diarrhea are inevitable. To make matters worse, radiation can't treat cancer cells that have spread. Why not? Because whole-body radiation intense enough to cure you would kill you before it could benefit you. And then, of course, there's the fact that radiation itself can also cause new cancers. It's high time we had some better options. And you know what? We do. Now, for the first time in history, medicine's brutal anti-cancer armamentarium, cut, surgery, poison, chemotherapy, and burn, radiation therapy, has a fourth weapon, marshaling for battle the body's own natural anti-cancer forces. There are many different varieties of cancer immunotherapy, but they're all built on the same earth-shaking idea. The immune system can eliminate cancer. It's hard to overstate how jaw-dropping this is. We've already discussed the spectacular promise of CAR T-cell therapies, which are a hybrid of immunotherapy and gene therapy. As you learned in Chapter 6, a trailblazing scientist named Dr. Carl June has devised a patented technique to modify T-cells, which are our immune system's infantry, to defend against cancer. Now I want to tell you a little more about T-cells, as well as 7 other forms of therapy, including 1. Checkpoint inhibitors. 2. Personalized cancer vaccines. 3. Natural killer cells that are harvested from human placentas and engineered to attack cancer. 4. Tumor-infiltrating lymphocytes that multiply a patient's T-cells to fight solid tumors. 5. Cancer-fighting exosomes that are showing promising results in combating one of the most lethal cancers of all, pancreatic cancer. 6. A new technology that is helping to treat prostate cancer without the debilitating side effects. 7. A pathway to healing that uses a single small molecule drug to attack 6 different cancers. It all sounds mind-blowingly futuristic, doesn't it? And it is. What we're witnessing here is an unprecedented wave of innovation that is stirring new hope that cancer can be cured. Tool number one, checkpoint inhibitors. How did the immune system come to play this central role in the crusade to cure cancer? The obvious place to start that story is by going back a few years to a game-changing breakthrough, the development of immunotherapy drugs called checkpoint inhibitors. Sharon Belvin was only 22 when she was diagnosed in 2002 with metastatic melanoma. The cancer had already spread to her lungs and brain. Belvin, a tough Jersey girl who had been studying to become a teacher, braved her way through a barrage of different treatments: gamma knife surgery, 3 kinds of chemotherapy, and infusions of interleukin-2, a protein made by white blood cells that is supposed to sick the immune system on cancer. Nothing worked. Other patients with stage 4 melanoma usually died within months, so Belvin figured she would soon become one of the 10,000 people in the U.S. who would succumb to melanoma that year. A couple of years after her diagnosis, she had clumps of tumors throughout her chest and was struggling to breathe. "It left me feeling like death warmed over," she recalls, "and now we were out of options." Then, in 2005, Belvin's oncologist at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York threw her a lifeline. "There's this new experimental cancer drug that works by unleashing your immune system on your tumors," he told her. "Would you like to enter the study that's testing it?" With nothing to lose, Belvin agreed to sign up. That fall, she had a total of 4 infusions of this new drug, ipilimumab, 3 weeks apart. "After 2 or 3 treatments, I started to feel better. For the first time in months, she even had the strength to walk her dog. Still," she says, "I didn't let myself hope yet." After her final infusion, Belvin had a CT scan. The radiologist at Sloan Kettering asked her doctor if there could have been a mix-up. Surely this couldn't be the scan of a patient who'd been riddled with tumors just weeks before. It was. Belvin's tumors had disappeared, destroyed by her own white blood cells, the warriors of the immune system that had been unleashed by ipilimumab. Coincidentally, on the very same day that Belvin's doctor told her she was cancer-free, he also mentioned nonchalantly that James Allison, the scientist who invented ipilimumab, happened to be in the building. Would she like to meet him? "He came to the room where I was," says Belvin. "I gave him a giant hug and we both cried." It was the first time that Jim Allison had ever met a patient whose life his discovery had saved. You may never have heard of him, but believe me, Dr. Allison, who won the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine in 2018, is a legend among cancer biologists. His breakthrough has saved hundreds of thousands of lives and revolutionized cancer medicine. A Texas native, his career initially took him to California and New York, but he returned to the Lone Star State as the preeminent scientist at the MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston. As with so many of the stories you've heard about scientists whose life's work led to breakthroughs, Allison's motivation was profoundly personal, not just professional. He lost one uncle to lung cancer, another to melanoma, and a brother to prostate cancer. He's also had invasive melanoma and prostate cancer himself. So it seems fitting that he was the person who made these immune cells cure cancer. Allison is a T-cell whisperer. Back in the 1980s, he learned more about T-cells than had ever been known. He discovered one molecule on their surface that recognizes foreign invaders. It's called the T-cell receptor. He discovered another molecule, CD28, that revs up T-cells' attack on invaders. He discovered a third, CTLA-4, that acts like a T-cell brake, which must be disengaged for the T-cell to be deployed into battle. All of this research led Allison to a revelatory idea. Maybe tumors have a fiendish mechanism for keeping the CTLA-4 brake engaged for those T-cells in their neighborhood. In 1994, he and a junior colleague conducted a groundbreaking experiment. They introduced a molecule able to block tumor cells from interfering with a T cell's CTLA-4 breaking mechanism. When they gave this same molecule to mice that had been injected with human cancer cells, the animal's T cells swarmed and destroyed the tumors. Dr. Allison had unleashed the animal's own immune system against cancer. That molecule, ipilimumab, is what saved Sharon Belvin's life. Approved by the FDA in 2011, ipilimumab was the first in a new class of cancer immunotherapies known as checkpoint inhibitors. The name comes from the fact that they block or inhibit the breaks or checkpoints that tumors use to fend off T cells. Since Allison's breakthrough, other scientists have discovered other checkpoints. Yes, tumor cells have more than one way to keep T cells at bay, and invented other drugs with the power to disable them. One of the best known of these drugs is Keytruda, which is used to treat a multitude of cancers, including melanoma, stomach cancer, bladder cancer, urinary tract cancer, and esophageal cancer. Keytruda blocks a checkpoint called PD-1, but you may know it simply as the Jimmy Carter drug. When the former president was diagnosed with metastatic melanoma that had spread to his brain, this is the immunotherapy that eradicated all signs of his cancer, giving him a new lease on life back when he was 91 years old, and now awarding him the distinction of being the United States' longest-living president. Other PD-1 checkpoint blockers include Opdivo, used to treat melanoma and other cancers, and Tecentriq, used to treat small cell lung cancer. By clearing a path for T cells to attack cancer, immunotherapies like these make it possible to survive cancers that used to be a surefire death sentence. But for reasons that aren't yet clear, checkpoint inhibitors cure only about a quarter of the patients who receive them. One reason may be that some patients don't have enough T cells or T cells with enough energy to penetrate and kill tumor cells, a concept called immune exhaustion. So preventing tumors from stepping on the T cell's brakes, as checkpoint drugs do, doesn't make any difference. Thankfully, there's a new wave of cell-based therapies that might prove even more powerful. Known as adoptive cell transfer treatments, these therapies use naturally occurring or genetically enhanced immune cells to treat cancer. As I stated earlier, the immune system can eliminate cancer. But can doesn't mean always does. These new wave therapies seek to make it happen more often, generally by giving immune cells a helping hand. Dr. Elizabeth Jaffe, deputy director of the Johns Hopkins Sidney Kimmel Comprehensive Cancer Center in Baltimore, told a reporter from Stat News, "The hope is that we can turn cancers from ones that don't attract immune cells into those that do." In Chapter 6, I told you about CAR T-cell therapy and its awesome ability to vanquish blood cancers like leukemia. Scientists create CAR T-cells by slipping a new gene into billions of patients' T-cells, which have been removed by a simple blood draw. Once the genetically engineered T-cells are returned to the patient, they make a beeline for the tumor cells and morph, Transformers style, into a lethal fighting machine. Better still, the CAR T cells replicate themselves. As a result, a whole army of T cells directed against the cancerous invader courses through the body, and as far as scientists can tell, does so forever. Yes, a single treatment, not weeks of chemotherapy or radiation, could be a forever cure. Tool number 2, personalized cancer vaccines. While CAR T cells are the first cellular therapies for cancer, they certainly won't be the last. Hard on their heels are personalized cancer vaccines. Here's how they work. If you look closely at the surface of a tumor cell, you'll see that it's bristling with antigens, typically a unique protein that the CAR T cell therapies are able to detect and attach themselves to. But what if T-cells could be engineered to find and attack dozens of tumor antigens at once? With more targets on their back, tumor cells would have a harder time escaping the T-cells that scientists unleash on them. and the T-cells that hunt down those tumors wouldn't destroy healthy cells that should be left in peace. That's the reasoning behind neoantigen cancer vaccines. Neoantigen means that the antigens are new, the result of mutations found only in tumor cells. A vaccine, of course, refers to a mechanism that sends your immune system into battle, in this case not to prevent a disease, as vaccines for flu and COVID-19 do, but to attack it. Part of the challenge is that no two patients' tumor neoantigens are alike. So a neoantigen vaccine must be uniquely personalized, crafted to find the neoantigens on an individual patient's tumor. How is this possible? Scientists start by sequencing tiny bits of the tumor obtained via biopsy, looking for mutations that produce neoantigens. They then select the 30 or so best neoantigens, those found in abundance and most likely to attract T cells. Those neoantigens are synthesized in the lab and packed into a vaccine. Over several months, patients receive injections containing millions of these neoantigens, which are designed to trigger the immune system to produce T cells that will attack the neoantigens and the tumor. Pretty ingenious, right? By 2020, clinical trials were underway or on the drawing board for a slew of neoantigen vaccines developed to combat illnesses like glioblastoma, triple-negative breast cancer, advanced melanoma, and non-small cell lung cancer. Tool number 3, natural killer cells. Meanwhile, another major front in the war on cancer is also opening up. In this case, the cancer-fighting battalion consists of natural killer, NK, cells. Yes, that's their real name, and there's good reason to think that these brawnier, higher-endurance cousins of T-cells can be made to live up to their billing. One advantage of NK cells is that they don't incite the sometimes disastrous immune response that CAR T-cells can fuel. Also, NK cells don't even have to come from the patient they're going to treat. Blood from a single donor or banked umbilical cord blood can supply NK cells for countless patients. Dr. Bob Hariri, my co-author, is one of the pioneers in using NK cells to combat cancer. His company, Cellularity, mentioned in Chapter 2, harvests NK cells from human placentas. The placenta is often regarded as a throwaway organ, but it's packed with stem cells as well as NK cells. And they're more youthful than those found in the bone marrow of adults or even children. Chaoqi Zhang, Cellularity's founding chief scientific officer, calls them day zero cells because they're newborns with this intrinsic attribute of persisting longer. Tests in lab dishes and mice suggest that these placental NK cells may last twice as long as ordinary NK cells. That's invaluable because ordinary NK cells hang around for about 2 weeks and then they're gone, says Zhang. So we asked, how can we make NK cells into a cancer-fighting product that can last longer? Zhang says the placental NK cells also secrete higher levels of enzymes that break apart tumor cells, along with a toxic brew of proteins called cytokines that also kill tumor cells. Plus, the placental NK cells bristle with more receptors, the surface molecules that sniff out targets like the strange antigens on tumor cells. Just like detectives have a better chance of tracking down a fleeing suspect if they sic more bloodhounds on the trail, so NK cells with their profusion of receptors have a better chance of tracking down tumor cells. In short, there's mounting evidence that placental NK cells can be used to patrol the bloodstream on a seek-and-destroy mission against cancer. But Cellularity isn't planning to send NK cells into battle with only their natural weapons. The company also selects for those with high levels of a receptor that increases NK cells' kill power, and it's genetically engineering them to be more resilient. NK cells also appear to be effective against solid tumors. For today's CAR T cells, solid tumors are the graveyard where they go to die, says Zhang. We think NK cells can overcome what limits CAR Ts. Cellularity's experimental NK cell therapy, tanerlucel, has shown considerable promise in lab mice that had been injected with cells from human glioblastoma multiforme, a fatal form of brain cancer that took the lives of two prominent U.S. senators, Edward Kennedy and John McCain. After Celularity's specially formulated NK cells were injected in the mice's brains, the cancer cells either vanished entirely or were drastically reduced in number. Celularity has since launched a human clinical study of its NK cells. Tool number 4. Tumor-infiltrating lymphocytes. Yet another battalion in the T-cell army is composed of tumor-infiltrating lymphocytes, TILs, which are white blood cells that have already burrowed into a tumor. TILs are a potpourri of cells packed with different receptors. They can be used to target an array of different tumor antigens, so they have a better chance of attacking every tumor cell. Still, the TILs have infiltrated enemy territory, are heavily outnumbered, and need urgent reinforcements. Fortunately, Dr. Steven Rosenberg of the National Cancer Institute has figured out a way to send in more troops to assist them in completing their mission. So far, his results have been extraordinary. Just over half of patients with advanced melanoma have benefited from his TILs, their disease remaining in remission. After more than 3 years of follow-up, only one of 24 patients who'd had a complete response, with their melanoma becoming undetectable, had suffered a recurrence. In small studies, Rosenberg's TILs have also cured patients with advanced bile duct cancer, breast cancer, colon cancer, and cervical cancer. A biotech startup, Iovance Biotherapeutics, is testing TILs in multiple varieties of cancer, hoping to replicate Rosenberg's remarkable success on a much larger scale. From the look of things, TILs might have two advantages that the current generation of CAR T-cells lack. They're able to lay waste to solid tumors, as Rosenberg has found, and they might beat back cancer longer than CAR Ts do, possibly even permanently. Tool number 5. Exosomes. There's finally even hope of defeating one of the most fearsome enemies of all, pancreatic cancer. At the moment, it has a truly dismal prognosis. Only 20% of patients survive for a single year after diagnosis. Only 7% survive for 5 years. Enter Dr. Raghu Kaluri of MD Anderson, who is developing cancer-fighting exosomes. As mentioned in previous chapters, exosomes are minute bags or vesicles excreted by cells containing growth factors to stimulate repair and rejuvenation. Their contents range from DNA and proteins to fatty molecules called lipids. While typically we consider exosomes produced by stem cells to be pro-regenerative, exosomes produced by cancer cells are believed to play an important role in the spread of cancer, bursting out of tumor cells, fusing with healthy cells, and turning them malignant. This ability to enter other cells and alter their fate may sound scary, but it could also prove to be fantastically helpful. We want to see if we can exploit the capacity of exosomes to enter specific cells by providing them with cargo that has anti-cancer effects, says Kaluri. We want to use exosomes like a Trojan horse, but to deliver a beneficial payload, not a lethal one. To achieve that, Kaluri is engineering exosomes to deliver anti-cancer genetic material to tumors. His eye exosomes are engineered to contain tiny bits of a DNA relative called siRNA, for short, interfering RNA. These siRNAs interfere with a cancer-causing protein called KRAS, which is the result of a mutation found in 80% of people with pancreatic cancer. We incorporate the siRNA into isolated and purified exosomes, trillions of them, says Kaluri. First developed in pancreatic cancer cells growing in lab dishes and then injected into mice with pancreatic tumors, his eye exosomes seemed to cluster around the pancreas where they shrank the tumors, stopped the cancer from spreading, and extended the animal's survival. Granted, scientists have cured cancer in countless mice using therapies that failed when tested in human beings, so we shouldn't let our expectations run wild when it comes to experimental treatments. But when we touched base with Kalluri, his hopes were justifiably high as he prepared to test his eye exosomes in a human study. Best of all, he believes that exosome-based therapy won't be limited to patients with pancreatic cancer. Tool number 6, Focalix technology for prostate cancer. Time goes on, so whatever you're going to do, do it. Do it now, don't wait. Robert De Niro, actor and prostate cancer survivor. Before we move on, I also want to tell you briefly about another important breakthrough in cancer treatment that's available right now. It's an innovative solution for prostate cancer, the single most common form of cancer among men in the U.S., other than skin cancer. About 1 in 8 men are diagnosed with prostate cancer during their lifetime, a disease that kills more than 34,000 men each year. So you ought to be aware of this highly effective treatment that might help you or someone close to you. As you may know, one problem with the traditional approach to treating prostate cancer is that it can have a disastrous effect on the quality of your life. In many cases, a surgeon saves the patient by removing his entire prostate gland, but robs him of his sexual potency and leaves him incontinent. It's a brutal price to pay. We desperately needed another option, and we found one, thanks to a urologist in Florida, Dr. Fernando Bianco. I was introduced to him because my prostate had enlarged, forcing me to get up multiple times each night to urinate, a common issue as men age. As I soon discovered, Dr. Bianco had created an ingenious technology called Focalix that works brilliantly for many men with enlarged prostates or prostate cancer. He begins by doing a specialized MRI to detect malignant and benign tumors in the prostate gland. Then, instead of a standard rectal biopsy, he's figured out a fast and painless way of gathering tumor samples by going through the perineal skin, a less invasive approach that vastly reduces the risk of infection. Having located any suspicious lesions with GPS-like accuracy, Dr. Bianco then destroys the cancerous cells with intense cold or heat, preserving the healthy prostate tissue and its function. What's great about this ultra-targeted treatment is that it's so much less disruptive than the standard surgical approach. With Dr. Bianco's patented methodology, there's no surgery, no radiation, no hospitalization. The whole procedure is done in a doctor's office. Best of all, his low-key approach lets the patient preserve his prostate function so he doesn't have to live in fear of incontinence and impotence. When I sat down with Dr. Bianco to discuss his breakthrough, he told me about the personal crisis that had inspired it. For years, he'd performed radically invasive surgery in the traditional manner, sincerely believing that he was making a difference in his patients' lives. Then a 12-year study revealed in 2012 that the standard approach was often worse than the disease itself. Dr. Bianco was stunned. As he told me, it threw me into a deep depression, but then it turned into a drive to find a new way that would not put men at risk of suffering from incontinence and impotence. The new way that Dr. Bianco pioneered offers a safe and precise alternative, an intervention that is not a quality-of-life-changing event. I utilize his services myself and even invested in the company. It's important to note that in most cases, the disease will not cause harm to the majority of men who have it, and most men tend to outlive the disease. So it's important not to do treatments that are unnecessary. But when they are, it's certainly nice to have an option that can be done in a doctor's office versus in a hospital, and one that doesn't leave a man incontinent or impotent. To learn more about how to access his technology, visit Focalix.com. Tool number 7, the pathway to restoration. Just take a daily pill and you are cancer-free. Osman Kibar. So far, we've talked primarily about two transformative approaches in the campaign against cancer: the development of diagnostic tests that detect the disease earlier than ever, and an array of innovative therapies that harness the power of our own immune system. But there's one other breakthrough that I also want to mention briefly. Imagine if cancer could be stopped in its tracks and turned into a chronic, manageable disease. Of course, nothing beats preventing or curing cancer, but this is the next best thing. In Chapter 9, I introduced you to Osman Kibar, the founder of SamuMed, now known as BioSplice, a biotech company that's attempting to totally revamp the way we heal our bodies from disease. BioSplice is developing targeted treatments to tackle a number of scourges, including cancer. The company is leading the way in what Kibar calls restorative medicine, including drugs that will stop solid tumors, such as lung or breast cancers, and liquid tumors, such as leukemias, from multiplying out of control. One way to think of these drugs is that they function like a release valve, making it possible to let out toxic air from cancerous tires. The key is the Wnt signaling pathway that dictates to cells how to differentiate into various cell types and regulates how they divide. As we age, this pathway deteriorates, giving rise to problems that can lead to cancer. The solution? Create drugs that rejuvenate the pathway so that cell division doesn't stray off course. Essentially, cancer is the result of cell division gone wild. So restoring the Wnt pathway to its youthful glory can reestablish the body's healthy equilibrium. The secret probably lies in your kinases. Huh? What? As Kibar explains, there are more than 500 types of specialized proteins in the body called kinases. They are master regulators, molecular taskmasters that oversee fundamental biological processes. BioSplice has discovered a sub-branch of kinase that plays a crucial role in translating genes into various proteins. The company capitalized on that discovery by inventing chemistry to safely and effectively nudge those kinases in the right direction, ensuring that the right composition of proteins is generated within a cell. Once you do that, the cell is healthy again, says Kibar, speaking as if this biological wizardry is no big deal. It helps to think of protein production like a factory. If the assembly line gets off kilter, the product comes out wrong. In cancer, some switch is faulty, so the assembly line for that production goes to a different path and gives you a different protein, says Kibar. Our small molecule drugs can intervene at the right point in that assembly line to channel the production away from those bad faulty proteins and back towards healthy proteins. There are many different mutations that can cause cancer. But rather than develop different drugs for each of these situations, BioSplice's revolutionary game plan is to fix the problem at the source, the pathway. Just think, you wouldn't need numerous different drugs to treat numerous different cancers. Instead, BioSplice is using a single small molecule drug to attack 6 different cancers that it expects to respond well. Prostate cancer, triple negative breast cancer, non-small cell lung cancer, ovarian cancer, endometrial cancer, and colorectal cancer. BioSplice is also fine-tuning that drug compound and splitting it into 4 additional compounds that are even more targeted. We're going for exquisite selectivity, says Kibar. Laser precision. The more precise, the fewer unwanted off-target effects. Meanwhile, to participate in its clinical trials, BioSplice has been recruiting patients who are considered terminal. These are people who are expected to survive a few months at most, whose prospects could hardly be worse. But listen to this. In BioSplice's Phase 1 clinical trial, several such patients have remained stable for up to 12 months. One molecule that BioSplice is studying actually penetrates the blood-brain barrier, depositing a high percentage of the biologically active therapy into the brain. Why is that such an important breakthrough? Because cancer that spreads to the brain can be a death sentence, with few available treatment options. We're hopeful that this molecule treats both the primary and metastatic tumors, says Kibar. We believe we should be able to improve the survival of these patients. Even more incredible, BioSplice's cancer-busting molecule can be delivered in the form of a daily pill. Listen to Kibar explain. The idea is if you have cancer and your cancer-causing mutation matches one of our target indications, then you start taking the pill. The pill doesn't fix the mutation, but as long as you're taking it, the mutation doesn't translate into a cancer. How amazing is that? Once again, for scientists at the forefront of innovation such as Kebar, this quest is deeply personal. His father died of cancer, and that prompted Kebar to consider questions he hadn't thought about much. Why are we here on Earth? What's our purpose? By the time you hear the news that you have terminal cancer, you lose the ability to take a step back and take stock of what you've done in life and what you didn't get a chance to do in life, he says. You're just worried about dying and not dying, and you're off balance with respect to all your feelings and emotions. Like me, like you, like all of us, Kebar wants to win this war on cancer once and for all, so that nobody has to suffer in this way, so that we can restore health and happiness to millions of families. His ultimate vision is to turn cancer into a manageable chronic condition where you just take a daily pill to remain cancer-free. Pop a pill a day to crush cancer? That might just be the greatest prescription ever. As I hope you can see, this cascade of stacking technological breakthroughs is creating a nearly unstoppable momentum. And with passionately driven, brilliantly accomplished pioneers like Jeff Huber, Mary Lou Jepsen, Dr. Jim Allison, Dr. Bob Hariri, Dr. Steven Rosenberg, Dr. Raghu Kaluri, and Osman Kebar on the case, we've never had so much reason for optimism. So please, based on what you've learned here, don't wait. Take action. Get yourself tested, ideally with a full-body MRI and the Grail blood test. Find a location near you, or you're welcome to contact Fountain Life to schedule a test or arrange one through your own doctor. In this chapter, you've discovered that a multitude of approaches that harness your personal immune system, such as individualized cancer vaccines and NK cells, are helping scores of people treat and beat cancers that used to be terminal. And also the power of broccoli sprouts, my favorite prevention technique, which are full of cancer-busting phytochemicals. There are so many options to combat cancer that you no longer have to settle for traditional methods alone, such as chemotherapy and radiation, which for some can feel as bad as the disease itself. Most importantly, remember that cancer is an equal opportunity scourge. Nobody thinks it's going to strike them, and yet cancer will impact 40% of the population. The tools you've learned about in this chapter can help you prevent it, catch it when it's small and very treatable, or take advantage of treatments that could be great alternatives and are far less toxic and in many cases far more effective than the standard options. I hope that this intensive chapter has inspired you and helped you to perhaps reduce the fear that so many have of this disease. All right, our next chapter is on an immensely important subject that impacts an astonishing 50 million people in the U.S., autoimmune disease. Let's learn about how inflammation leads to dangerous mutations throughout your body and the latest breakthroughs that are treating it at the source.